Embedded Philosophy. This is Dr. Herbert L. Barley, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, with a thought for today. Embedded Philosophy. We all live our life pretty much in an embedded situation. We are so embedded in what we are doing, we have made it an integral part of our life. We've made something. Now, what is it that we have made an integral part of our life? What is it that we have taken into our being in such a positive, wonderful, dynamic way that it is all that we know? What is that? Is that our life? Is that our being? Is that our world? Is that who we are? What is the embedded personality that we are? Well, that's our philosophy of life. As we grew up, our parents, our peers, our world taught us things that were necessary to cooperate with getting along with the world. And sometimes they were not necessarily beneficial from a broader point of view. We had to sort of give up our freedom. We had to give up our opportunity to be a free spirit, to do things as society requires them of us. And we want to live with society harmoniously and get along with society harmoniously. And the only way we can do that is to cooperate with its program and its rules. And so we embed that philosophy of society's rules in our life, and it becomes part of our nature, and we do not think another thing about it. We just live it. And then along comes somebody like me who says, hey, what is it that you have placed in your consciousness? Are you looking at the first thing? Well, what's the term? Here's a phrase that we have oftentimes. Think before you talk. Think before you talk. Don't let your mouth run away with you. Think before you talk. My goodness. Think before you talk. This is not living in the maximum, in the ideal way. It's living in a proper way in society, perhaps, but not in the ideal way. If the scientists were to think before they talked, they would not come up with half of the things they come up with. Now, when you live by your intuition, when you live by your intuitive self, when you live by listening to what is coming up in your consciousness at the moment it comes up, and not trying to give it logical judgment, not trying to move it away from wherever it reasonably is, then something beautiful happens. Some very fantastic experiences take place in life. When we take our first thought, oh, how wonderful that would be if we could take our first thought and act upon it. Without thinking about it, without logically going over it, without going over it to realize, well, is this going to fit into this pattern? Is this going to do this? Truly, when we are embedded with our philosophy of life, we don't have to think about it before we act, because the philosophy of our life is embedded into us. Now, wouldn't it be interesting if we could embed into our philosophy, I know that I know that I know the divine in me knows the answer. I know that I know that I know the divine in me knows the answer. I know that I know that I know the divine in me knows the answer. Imagine embedding that into our consciousness so that no matter what takes place in our world, that we instantly work from that realm, from that attitude. I know that I know that I know the divine in me knows the answer. I know that I know that I know God in me knows the answer. I know that I know that I know. I know the answer. I know it. What a wonderful thing that would be to embed in our consciousness, if that is our embedded philosophy. Now, how many parents have the guts to teach that to their kids? How many teachers have the guts to teach that to their kids? Not very many. And the reason is they haven't practiced it themselves. Now, we are told to listen to the divine within, and that's a noble thing. But how many of us do it? We are told to listen to the divine within, but instead we listen to all of the ramifications that the world has brought to our consciousness, and we base our judgments, we base our attitudes, we base our direction in life on these things that we have been told and that we have embedded into our consciousness. Now, a point might be, how do we unembed something we have embedded in our consciousness, which is a limitation for us? If a mother would say to her child, "Oh, sweetheart, how are you doing?" And the child would come, "Mommy, I got a hurt." "Well, that's lovely. Tell me all about it." "Mommy, my hurt isn't lovely." "But you are lovely, sweetheart, and that's what I want you to tell me all about." "Mommy." "Well, tell me what's the problem." "Well..." And then they go off on a tangent from the problem to what the real problem is. And as they do that, the mother, by her intuitive wisdom, knows to listen to the child's heart and not to the child's worldly experiences that are the child thinks is going to get him what they want. Now, how are you doing things in life? How are you doing? How are you working to get what you want? Say, for instance, you would like to have wonderful friends. Well, now they say, to have wonderful friends, you be a wonderful friend. Now, this is sort of an embedded philosophy in our consciousness, but is it one that we truly follow? To have friends, you be a friend. Well, now, what does it mean to be a friend? Well, according to the Dictionary on Friendship, it means to take time to enjoy the time with another person. To take time to be interested in the other person and their world. To take time to be interested in who the other person is and to see the other person in their highest and their best. And one thing, not to judge the other person. Another thing, not to possess them. If they want to play with you, fine. If they don't, fine. If they want to be in your presence, fine. If they don't want to be in your presence, fine. You don't take it as an affront to you. You know, it's really something. And part of this embedded philosophy is giving gifts. Now, we all like to give gifts. And when we give gifts, we are so attached to the gift that we say, "Well, how do you like my car? How do you like my dog? How do you like my shoes that I gave you? How do you like my coat that I gave you? How do you like the kiss that I gave you? My kiss!" Yeah. Well, hey, think about that. You didn't give it away. You hung right onto it. It still belongs to you. When you give something, you give it with your whole heart, and you pay no attention to whether the person accepts it or rejects it or whatever. As long as the person has it in their possession, it's out of your hands and you no longer have it. But you say, "Well, how do you like my car? How do you like my house? How do you like my coat?" Yes, and as long as we do that, then we are still possessed by it. So you see, the art of friendship, the art of giving, the art of anything is we enjoy it, delight in it, and then we release it. We do not possess it. We do not judge what's being done with it, whether it's properly and honorably used. As Jesus would say, you don't throw pearls before the swine, but it's not a matter of that. He didn't say that you shouldn't throw it before the swine because they don't appreciate it. He would say, you don't throw it before the swine because you want to use it, because you feel it has value, because you feel they're pearls. Now, what if you gave some stones and you threw them before the swine? Would you say that was a bad thing? What if you say you put the swill before the swine? The swill is the swine's food. And you'd say, is that bad? No. You see, those are all things that we have been a judgment to. We have been directed to. We have embedded in our philosophy. And this embedded philosophy can sometimes limit us and sometimes not. Where do you go on your journey into philosophy? What sort of embedded philosophy do you have in your life? Is it the kind you want? Or are you in the process of embedding a new philosophy? Which doesn't mean you take away the old philosophy. It means you put a new philosophy in there. Now, if I give you a new car, and you persistently go and drive the old car because you're afraid to drive the new car because you don't want it to wear out, you don't want it to get dusty, you don't want it to have an accident or a problem, well, you'll have all sorts of unhappinesses with that new car. Because you haven't embedded that new car in your philosophy, in your life, as your personal car. Truly, wealthy people who drive inexpensive cars are not having half the fun out of life. I knew a very wealthy man in Switzerland, and he had a giant Mercedes, big old job, and we went down to Italy with it. And when we got across the border from Switzerland to Italy, we stopped at his attorney's office, and we picked up a little Fiat that he had there, and we drove in that little car through Italy, because it was much easier to traverse the streets and to make traffic, and also, in the foremost of their mind, should any incident take place, the little Fiat wouldn't be a costly thing to repair or take care of. Now, that's really the wrong reason for doing things. When you drive a big, beautiful car, if such is your choice, you drive the big, beautiful car because you love it. And you surround it with your pure white light of love. And everywhere you go is peace and pleasantness. And the road is open before you. The streets are just sort of like spreading apart. The people just pull to the right, pull out of your way as you drive along. Not that you're driving improperly, but you're just driving. And the way is clear before you. And no matter what the car is, if you love your car, you love it. But first you love yourself. And you say the road is open before you, and the road is open before your car, and truly it is. Try it, practice it. It takes a little practice, but it works very nicely. Now, you don't leave your big car at home, which is your joy and your pleasure. You take it with you wherever you go. You don't leave your good clothes at home because you're going to go somewhere. You wear your beautiful clothes that are suitable for whatever it is you're going to do, and that's a happy time. These are things that we want to do. Our embedded philosophy usually is we want to make sure that nothing goes wrong. Well, what an improper philosophy that is. We want to make sure that everything goes right. That is what our philosophy should be, could be, is, and will be when we embed our philosophy in our mind with all is in divine order, 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 all is in divine. Embedding that philosophy, there is no place for otherness. There is no place for anything else taking place. And when we have things that we enjoy, enjoy them. And when we're done, give them away or throw them away, but do not continue to possess them. Because if you continue to possess them, you can be sure many more doorways of beauty and goodness are not going to open before you. Because how many spots do you have in your garage for cars? Build a bigger garage, that's true. Be a Jay Leno, yeah, with all his hundreds of cars. But what are you doing? What is your consciousness calling for? Do you want more than one or two cars? Do you want more than one or two suits of clothes? What do you want? Whatever you're embedding in your consciousness, whatever your philosophy is, your embedded philosophy is, whatever that may be, intrinsic within you, then that's what you experience. And now, here's the test. Look at your life as I look at mine. And where is it that certain things are not what you'd really like them to have? Those are the things that are operating on an embedded philosophy that says that's the result you should get. Now, let's put a new embedded philosophy in our consciousness of what it is that we feel is desirable and what we'd like to experience under all circumstances. As we put this new embedded philosophy in our world, this embedded philosophy is who and what we are. And life is indeed wonderful beyond all measure. join me in putting an embedded philosophy in my life and your life that is one that we will always delight in expressing in our world. Because we're going to express it, whatever our embedded philosophy is, and we might as well make it an embedded philosophy of unconditional love and how great that is. Have a lovely day, and know that I love you. I love you. I love you.